together. Let's welcome the guests of the church to the 14th area. Todd White, come on, Todd. We love you, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, thank you. Come
on. Stretch your hand just for this prayer over Todd this morning. Give us prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, God.
It's so easy to pray for many people who are sick, but sometimes we need prayer ourselves. So I pray, Father, whatever's going on in his body this morning, Father, I pray for health to return in the name of Jesus. Sickness must leave in Jesus' name. Pray for strength return, Father. No jet lag. Lord, he's been traveling around the world. I pray right now, Lord, that everything lights up, Lord. His immune system, Lord, his sleep patterns. Father, right now, I pray that, Father, you give him strength this morning as he ministers, God. May you minister to him as well. Strengthening him. Father, I pray that you continue, God, to keep him humble, Lord, and sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Lord. May he continue, Father, to be your voice to a generation. God, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of his life, Lord. May you challenge us today. May you equip us today, God. We speak over time today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Is it okay if he keeps playing the keys? You guys, hear me? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. How many of you have never heard me before? Raise your hands high if you never heard me. All right, how many of you are a little scared right now? It's okay. Don't be frightened of my hair. Jesus is underneath of it. It's okay. I always have the pastor pray for me. I just do, just because it's his house. You know, it's the house that you're in, and I honor the head of every house that I go into, no matter what. It's not that I need strength. It's that I believe in honoring the head of every house. That's it. And, yeah, it's good. I did have a stomach thing going on a little while back, so I'm really tender on my eating right now, but I'm good. I did have 6 hours of sleep last night, which is a miracle, because I just came back from Australia. And if you've ever been there, you're 14 hours a day ahead when you land. And then when you come back, you get back at the same time you left. And that's totally weird. It is. But I've been a Christian now for 11 years. I've been on fire for 11 years. People told me that it'd wear off. I beg to differ with you. I don't understand how something that you didn't earn can wear off, that you didn't work for can wear off. The only reason that it would wear off is because you forgot who you were. Or maybe you came in and never realized who you were when you came. Or maybe you've just gone to church and think that makes you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. No. Going to McDonald's doesn't make me a Big Mac. Even when you go to school, you could call yourself a student, but unless you apply yourself to what you're in, you really aren't a good student. See, I did that my whole life. I did 22 years of addiction and atheism and anger and hatred, and I hated the church because I never really saw Jesus in her, so why would I want what she had? I had a lot of people that I heard of talk about God, but I never saw somebody represent him. See, representing God is an amazing privilege. I mean, God says, now I want you to be an imitator of me. That's crazy. People say, well, that's impossible. Well, you're wrong and the Bible's right. Imitating God doesn't mean take glory to you. Be an imitator of Christ doesn't mean say, look, I'm Jesus. Be an imitator of Christ means that I need to realize the reality of who God's called me to be. He's called me to be his son. He's called me to be amazing. He's called me to be so heavenly minded that I'm earthly incredible. He's called me to be a person that people actually want to be around. Everybody except the church sometimes. Can I come down there? Is it legal here in this house? All right. Freedom. Okay. Sometimes you got to stay up there because the cameras can't. But I got these poles and I got to get around them so I can see everybody. All right. I've been in love with Jesus for 11 years. I was horrible. and I hurt a lot of people in my life. I destroyed a lot of lives. And then Jesus set me free from me 11 years ago, which makes me free from you for 11 years. The Bible sets you free from you so that you can be free from others, so that nobody else can determine your value except the one that created you. But if you don't understand your value, you'll never be able to represent the one that thinks that you're worth it. Worthlessness is something that the body of Christ carries prevalently. Condemnation, guilt, and shame is something that the body of Christ lives in, and it's the very thing that God made a new covenant for us to be, for that thing to be crushed and taken out of our life. Yet a lot of people look back and regret and just live in this place of yesterday, never getting to today. Some of you aren't smiling, so I'm talking to the right crowd right now. It's every church I go into, it's not a new message. I don't believe God's saying some new thing. I believe he's saying the same thing he's always said. God spoke through his son and he didn't change the message. He spoke through Jesus Christ. We are to be witnesses of Jesus. To be a witness is different than doing witnessing. If I've got to do witnesses, it's work and it's hard and man, I might not do it the right way. But if I become a witness, it's different. When Jesus told the disciples, then you're going to be a witness, that actually means martyr. Go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise. Then you're going to be a martyr to the ends of the earth. And we're like, no. But the reality of this thing is that when you gave your life to Jesus, you pushed everything to the center of the table and you said, I'm completely in. And when you hold back from God, you become a target for the enemy. And all of a sudden, he presses, he squeezes, he hurts, he crushes. He gets you to fix your eyes on things that aren't true so that you can never see who he's created you to be. He gets you to fix your focus on how bad life is and how mean your people are and how bad your family is and how messed up the world is. And then you pray for Jesus to rescue you out of here because you can't handle life because you don't know what life really is. Life and life more abundantly is different than stealing, killing, and destroying. We said, well, I'm not stealing. No, but you're being stole from. You're being killed. You're being destroyed. People perish not for a lack of an open heaven. People perish for lack of knowledge. And then when we receive the knowledge, Hosea 4:7 says, and after having received it, they rejected it. You can't afford to reject the reality of who God's called you to be, or you'll never see what your purpose and what your value is when you're here. Your purpose is to destroy hell for a living. Everywhere you go, you are the handprint of heaven that cuts off the fingers of the handprint of hell. Everywhere you go, why do you think every fingerprint you have is different? Nobody on the whole earth. Man, God created us like him. He's created us in his image. God just is amazing, so he created every fingerprint different, and there's billions. More than that, there's 10 on each hand, or give or take. You know, I was a drug addict for 22 years, and I was an atheist my whole life. Nobody for 34 years came up to me and told me about Jesus. Everybody was wrapped up in their own junk and in their own stuff, and everybody, I guess they thought it was the job of an evangelist. Why would it be an evangelist's job to tell somebody about Jesus? It says to preach the gospel to all creation. It says if you're a believer, tell somebody about it. That doesn't mean you have to go out there and stand on a table at the restaurant. Everybody listen. Although that'd be cool. What does be a witness mean? It means that the Holy Spirit in and through you is the witness in and through you. And he wants to flow through you. And he wants to remind the devil every day that he really messed up. God wants his creation to know who his creation is. Do you know that people around you are groaning for you to manifest the right thing? You giving people a piece of your mind and your attitude isn't okay. It's not cool. It actually isn't, it shouldn't be normal, but it's normal and it shouldn't be normal. You shouldn't give people a piece of your mind. You should give people a piece of his. Your mind needs to be set on things above and not beneath. This is all scripture. Seems like a fire hose. That's okay. Jesus is awesome. He's given us a privilege. He won't be able to do it once you get there. It's over there. It's over. People are praying for Jesus to get him out of here.
Job's bad. People are jerks. That's what I hear. You don't know my family. You don't know what it is. It's not them. It's you. You're the problem. Yeah, but you don't know what they said to me. It's you. You don't know what they did to me. It's you. You don't know what I've been through. It's you. People don't like to hear it. I might as well tell you now, because you're going to stand before the Father one day and you're going to answer for your life. And you're going to find out it wasn't everybody else. It was a lack of you seeing your identity as a son. It was a lack of you seeing who you are as God's created image on this planet. Boy, you guys are mad, some of you. Get over you. I love you, but why would I compromise the gospel? Man, I don't compromise this thing. I walk with integrity. I walk with the purity of my heart, with my hands clean and my heart pure. I need to see God. I need to know Him. And people's faces are not the barometer of whether I'm preaching the truth. And people liking me isn't what I live for. I don't live to receive honor from people. If I live to receive honor from people, then I'm living for your praise. And if I'm living for your praise, I'll die by your criticism. You can mock and scoff what you don't know, and it doesn't matter to me, because God loves me, period. He is for me. It doesn't matter who's against me. One person in Christ is the majority. The Bible doesn't say deny the devil, pick up your cross, guys. It says deny yourself. Self is the issue. Selfishness, self-seeking, envy. It's the wisdom of the world, and every evil thing is in that place. When you pray for Jesus to get you out of here, it's because you read the Bible through a rapture mentality. And what we're doing is we think that the rapture is a rescue mission, and you're wrong. It's not. It's the pickup for a wedding date for a bride that's made herself ready. You sang it. It's a bride that has made herself ready because she knows who she is, and she's not going to be unprepared. But being prepared isn't just for praying for Jesus to get you out of here. Praying for Him to get you out of here is a rescue, because you can't handle life, because people are bad and people are mean and the job's hard and all this stuff. That's just not true. It could be, but who are you? And are you a light in a dark place, or are you a Christian with a basket on your head? That's not mean. That's the truth. It's the whole truth. Well, part of the whole truth, because it's still going to come, because I still got more time. I'm so serious. Man, I live that way. I grew up, I was raised in a boys' home. Raised in a children's home. My parents gave me up when I was a kid. Everybody has a testimony. My parents didn't want me because I was a wild child. So I started drugs at 12. I got out of the Masonic homes at 17. I joined the military. Joined the Marines to straighten my life out. And then I went AWOL because I didn't want to be there anymore. And I ran away and I stole a bunch of money in a drug deal. And I went out to Colorado and I got a job as a ski bum. And then I got busted because I'm running. I'm living some dream, some fantasy, some nightmare actually. But I thought it was a dream because I was high the whole time. I get picked up by the cops. They put me in jail. They extradite me across America. I get put in the Marine Corps prison down at Camp Lejeune. I'm in there for 8.5 months. I mean, I should have had more time because Leavenworth was the big thing, but I was in the brig, which is a small thing, but it's still a bummer. It's not like regular jail. It's hard labor. You're working. You're doing stuff that you don't like to do, filling sandbags, doing silly stuff. And as arrogant and as mean as could be. And no Christians. I don't come from a Christian family. I don't come from lots of people that love God. I come from a place of nobody loving God, nobody knowing God. But lots of people around me claim to know God my whole life, but really never represented God. They represent Him because they go to a building and sing praises, but then they live like the devil. So why would I want what you have if I can't see Christ in you? I'm not being mean. I'm telling you, people are dying, man. They're going to hell. People every day that you pass by don't want to live anymore. What are you going to do with that? That's not, oh wow, He's condemning us. That's not condemnation. It's freedom. Imagine being free from you and not being afraid and not being ashamed, not being scared to talk to people. What if you weren't afraid? What if you left here and went like, oh, and you just threw up Jesus all over people? What if? What if I'm actually just provoking your heart to be who God's created you to be? And I'm not giving you an attitude. I just believe that we're called to a higher purpose. But a higher purpose doesn't mean look at me because I'm amazing. A higher purpose means look at Jesus because he's awesome. And he recreated me. He changed me. I've been created in the image of awesome. That identity was forfeited in the garden when we lost everything. But Jesus restored that which was lost. But the difference between God walking with us is God coming to live inside of us. Men, what a privilege. I'm not sorry if you're offended. I love you. Are you okay? Some of you are like, now I'm even not okay more. It's all right. Jesus loves you extravagantly, passionately. If you see it, it'll change your life. It'll change your family. It'll change your perspective. It'll change what you think a job is. You'll go to work and you'll be like, this is amazing. Oh, I get to represent Jesus here. Holy moly. You'll wake up in the morning and you won't push snooze 8 times and be bummed out. You'll actually wake up in the morning and be like, God, thank you. Oh my gosh, another day. I wake up with that every day of my life, that right there. Imagine if you woke up every day full of joy. Imagine if you went to sleep every day full of joy and you didn't hug the pillow God when you went to sleep praying that tomorrow wouldn't be worse than today. Come on, when I start sharing this, people are like, well, you don't know what I've been through. I get it. Let me tell you a little of what I went through. So I get extradited across America. I get put in the brig. I'm in the brig for about 8.5 months. I get out and I'm like, man, I don't want to be here. So I ran away again to the same place. I got arrested at before because I couldn't get over the mountains. I needed to be up there in the mountains. I'm serious. If you ever went to Colorado, it's beautiful, man. People called it God's country. I don't know what it was, but it was beautiful. And I was high the whole time. Hooked on drugs, man, hardcore. Stole from everyone. Then I get arrested in a traffic violation a year later. And I get put in jail and get extradited across America again. And I get put back in the brig. Hey, Todd, welcome back. Then I'm in there for about another 9 months. And they said, we're not keeping you in. We're going to kick you out. So they kicked me out and gave me a bad conduct discharge. A big chicken dinner. That's what they call it. And now I have that marking my life. That's not good to put on resumes. So I lied on everything. So I destroyed everyone's life. I went home. My mom kicked me out. I just had trouble, man. It was constant. I didn't have a place to live. House to house to house. Then I met this girl. We moved in together and I tricked her into thinking I'm a cool guy because I was a professional con artist and a liar and a manipulator and a drug salesman. I could sell anybody anything. I was such a liar. Man, no truth was in it. I didn't even know what truth was. I was so far gone. Man, I guarantee you there was a Christian that walked in my path at least once in 34 years. So I tricked her into thinking I'm a cool guy. Then she ends up getting pregnant about 1.5 years later, and I have my daughter, and I realize I could never be a dad. I didn't know how to be a dad. My dad wasn't a real, she didn't know how to be a dad. He was messed up from Vietnam and all that stuff. So, man, I couldn't be a father to my kid, so I just messed it up, and all I did was, man, I got to get out of this equation somehow. I didn't want to leave because she's my kid, but I couldn't have responsibility, so I needed to escape, so drugs became more profuse. Alcohol became more profuse. Whatever I could get to get mine. And I manipulated and lied and maneuvered and couldn't hold a job, and then my girlfriend was like, I'm out of here. And I said, if you leave, I'll kill myself. And I became suicidal. And it was a constant thought every day. Suicide. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to be around anymore. I'm finished. If you leave me, I'll do it. If you take the only thing that I have in life away, I will end my life. Because that was the only thing that mattered to me, even though I didn't know how to father or mother. You know, I didn't know that stuff. I didn't know anything. So she stayed with me. And a couple months later, she says, you know what? I am leaving you, and I'm going to find somebody that'll care about me. And I said, if you do, I'll kill whoever I find you with, and I'll make you watch, and then I'll kill myself. How horrible is that? And I'm going to tell you this, man. It happens every day somewhere in the world. Jealousy and rage because you've now made somebody your complete savior. If Jesus doesn't become your everything, somebody else will. And when somebody else is your everything, you won't be able to live for the one that gave his life for you. I promise you, it's like Abraham and Isaac. You have Isaac that God said needs to be removed because he's taken first place, and I need to be first place in your life, Abraham. So my life is just torment and tragedy. So she stays with me for 9 years. Imagine that, living in hell for 9 years and not leaving. Just because more that she's worried about me killing myself. So one night, I come home, she's gone. I'm like, that's it, I'm done. I went over to her stepdad's house because I was going to get a rifle to blow my brains out, a shotgun to do it right. I knew that she didn't leave me for somebody, but I knew that I couldn't do anything right, and all I did was wreck, ruin, tragedy. I put us through bankruptcy. I destroyed our life. I ruined our credit. I had our cars repossessed. I stole everything. I drained my daughter's piggy bank, savings bonds. Everybody in my family, I stole from everybody that I possibly could. I was the black sheep, and I was just a black cloud around me. It was like Linus from Peanuts, if you know what I'm talking about. He was the one that the cloud followed everywhere. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm 45, so... So I was just lost as could be, went to the gun cabinet, and on the way there, I passed a phone book, and I flipped it open, and it opened to churches. On its own, I just broke it in half, and the yellow pages went right to churches. So I said, yeah, right. Why would I do this? I made a check at one of these churches. 586 at the time. I went back and counted them. So I drove to this church, and I said, I need to talk to somebody. I was so mad, man, so mad. Some happy guy answers the door. Come on in, buddy. I'm not your buddy. He said, well, come on in. How can I help you? I don't know if you can help me, man. Let me tell you my life. Bang, bang, bang. And I let him know. I told him what it was. And he said, all right. I said, man, what's wrong with you? Just happy, smiley. And there was something in his eyes that I could hardly look at his eyes. I didn't understand what it was. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye isn't single and focused on purpose and value, and you don't understand the reality of who you are, the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? And you don't need to think darkness. You are meant to house light. You are meant to be the light of the world, the city on a hill, a light that lights up his own house. And Jesus wants to be the one that lights up your house from the inside so that your eyes reflect the glory of the King Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I'm just, man, he tells me about Jesus. I said, I did not come here to hear about Jesus. He said, this is a church. I thought to myself, so what? Jesus isn't in no church. Oh, yeah, I'm so messed up inside. And he says, hey, since you just came from wanting to end your life, why don't you give it to somebody that wants it? I said, who would want my life? And he told me Jesus would want it. I said, how could a dead guy 2,000 years ago want my life? And he shared the cross with me. And I cried. I'm like, man, so messed up, dude. Can't believe I'm even listening to this. He said, why don't you give it to somebody that wants it? I said, fine, whatever. He can have it. Great. I did it. There. That's my prayer. Very, very not orthodox. Very not the sinner's prayer. But it was a start. And I said, fine, whatever. There. He said, here's my number. You're going to need it. And I went, why? He said, because you're going to need it. I want you to call me. I said, all right, man. See you later, man. Nice to meet you. I left, and for the first time in my life, I didn't want to kill myself. Like that suicide thing just left me. I went home, and I'm like, I got to call my daughter. I got to call. So I called her, and I'm like, hey, you need to tell mommy that daddy found God. She said, what's he like, dad? I said, I don't know, but I met somebody today that does. I met somebody today that knows him. I saw him in his eyes. I don't know what it was, but I want that same thing that he has. It was like, oh, like walking with Jesus, dude. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going with you. I don't even understand, but I'm just going. That's how the disciples were. They were like, well, oh God, it had to be crazy. Everybody's getting up. Everybody's getting healed. Blind eyes open and deaf ears. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Ah, right? But they were outside looking in. Even the disciples were outside looking in. The disciples didn't know who they were. They couldn't have, because the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out. They were thinking like orphans. They weren't thinking like sons. They had no idea. They couldn't be sons and daughters until Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected. He said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come. I won't. I will not leave you as an orphan. You will not be an orphan any longer. I will come. He says, it's better for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, he won't come. But if he comes, well, what is he supposed to do when he comes? He's supposed to make you like Jesus. He's supposed to make you a son and a daughter. The Holy Spirit comes, makes his home inside, and he cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy God. The Holy Ghost does. He cries out when you can't even. He goes, Abba! I couldn't hear it. Oh, but he's crying. Abba, Father, Daddy God. Jesus isn't the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to heaven except by him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. The Father is what it's about. Be fathered by the Father, being a son and a daughter, and knowing whose you are and who you are. Your identity being secure in him, knowing that God is amazing and he created you in his image and he's for you and he's not against you. So that night I put my daughter to bed because my girlfriend came home. Boy, she was so angry because she comes from a line of atheists too, no Christians. I can't believe that you're doing this. Now you're going to be a hypocrite? I don't think so. You don't fool me. Get away from me. And of course, I'm sleeping on the couch, all that. Put my daughter to bed. I said, honey, I'm so sorry I did this. God's going to change everything. Oh, daddy, I'm so glad you found God. And I put her to bed and I'm out on a cocaine binge in an hour and a half. First night. What? Oh, yeah. It was horrible. And I'm out there getting high. Come home. Totally lost. Got high all night long, used our money, drained our bank account once again, hit the debit card, whatever I could do to get money. You couldn't hide it from me. I'd steal. That night I come home, my daughter's on the couch. Daddy, you promised never again. I know, I'm so sorry. Get out, I hate you. My girlfriend, I said, man, I called Dan. I said, dude, I did it again last night, man. He said, how does that make you feel? I said, horrible, man. He said, good for you. I said, why is me feeling horrible good for me? He said, because yesterday you wouldn't have cared. He said, it shows me there's a seed inside of you that's growing. And I went, oh, God, make it grow faster because I hate this. I'm serious. I hated this. This was horrible. Next night, same thing. Next night, same thing. Again, 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 again. I'd call him every morning. Dude, I did it again, man. I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. He'd just keep pouring the truth into me and telling me who God says I am. This is what God says you are. This is who he says you are. Do you understand? This is what the Bible says. But I never opened it up. I never opened the word because in the word it tells you who you are. See, people get in there and you can't understand it. And it's like, because the Bible's not meant for your brain. It's meant for your heart, because your heart can take you places your brain can't fit. But if you think you can get in the Bible and memorize it, it's not okay. It's not just for your brain. It's not just theory. It's the practical application of the divine nature that comes and empowers you from within so that you can change the world. But first thing he wants to do is change the world inside of here. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove God's will everywhere you go, no matter what. None of you can contest with what I'm saying, because this is something that's in your Bible. And mine, it's the Word. God wants our flesh to become the Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and he wants our flesh to become the very Word that we say we know, because the only Word that you know is the one that you can walk out. It's not about just quoting it and confessing it. It's about walking it out. It's not about saying that you know it. It's not about listening to a scripture and finishing the end of it and thinking that you know it. It's about continuing in that thing and chomping on the very Word and allowing that to change your heart and your life from within. And I promise you, he can do it. All you got to do is ask him. Oh, he's really good at it. He's the best. He's what took this guy and wrecked him forever. And I'm so free from me. I am. Imagine not being free from me and looking like this. Boy. So I just, again and again and again, and then 5.5 months in, 5.5 months in, I go out and I pick up this kid and the drug deal. And that was the night my daughter and my girlfriend, she followed me out in town, and then I'm out there. It's like 1:30 in the morning. Like, Daddy, you promised never again. I said, I know. And I was calling my dealer. He wasn't there. I turned around. There they are, parked behind me. I'm like, oh, man. So my daughter's screaming. My girlfriend, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you so bad. I hate you, you hypocrite. They got in the car. I said, get home now. Followed me out. I lost them. Went down into the streets, my city, down into the hard part where the cocaine dealers and all them guys were, man, the crack dealers from New York City. They moved down. I live in Pennsylvania. And I picked up this kid. I got him in my car, picked him up on the corner. I'd never seen this kid before. He's from New York. I said, where are you from, man? He's New York City, man. What's up? I said, man, I said, what do you got on you? And he handed me a bunch of drugs. And I said, no, that's it. I'll take it all. You better have the money. I said, you seen my car up in here? Yeah, because I knew how to beat people. I knew how to steal. I was good. I got that. I got all the drugs in my hand, and I said, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say, can and will be used against you. And I read this kid his rights, and he starts freaking out. I knew it. I knew you were a cop. And I'm thinking, I got this kid. And he gets out of my car. I tell him to put his hands on the hood, and when he does, I hit the gas, man. Boom, 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 boom. He unloads a 9mm at me from 10 feet away. As my car's going away, as soon as he gets out, just like that, and I hear a voice fill my vehicle, and it said, I took those bullets for you. Are you ready to live for me yet? See, that's what happened. What would you do with that? See, I got shot at from 10 feet away. I don't care who you are, little kid or not. 10 feet away, if you have that gun pointing in the right direction, it's at least going to hit something close to you. Not one bullet hole hit my vehicle. Not one. Not one bullet. And a clip and a 9mm. And that voice wouldn't go away. And I went and I did all the drugs that I had, all of them. And I couldn't get high. And every time I took a hit, it killed my voice, or the voice killed my buzz all night long. I took those bullets for you. Are you ready yet? You got to be ready. Are you ready yet? What do you do, man? I'm tormented by this voice. I go home. I look around my car. No bullet holes. I get to the door. She says, get out. I hate you. My daughter's, no, Daddy. I remember her screaming. I mean, I'm her only dad. Even though I didn't know how to be one, I'm her only one. And that night, I left. 3 days later, I'm in a program called Teen Challenge. And I went to this place started by Dave Wilkerson. He started it in New York, and then it's all over the world. It's not just for teens. I went to this thing. I submitted myself. I surrendered to God. So you can't just resist the devil in your own strength. You'll be crushed. You submit to God. That's what's resisting of the devil. When you submit to God, it means all in. All in. 100% completely in. The Bible becomes the truth that you live by. Submission to God means that God is for you. Who can be against you? But if you don't understand what God says in His Word, you'll never be able to live your life the way that the Word says. So I'm in this program. Girlfriend is glad I'm gone. She actually said, God, if you're real, take him from me. And the next day I was gone. She's an atheist. She just can't handle it anymore. It was horrible. So I had this band that I was in, man. I was this rock singer. I was one of them guys. And I loved it. And I was rowdy. And man, I had all the guys. And we had this band for 4 years. They're all like jamming. And it's just amazing. Like, I'm talking like, we were really good. We had a chance of making it. And 5.5 months earlier, when I came home that one night, when I went in, I said, man, I found Jesus, right? I told the guys, because I was in this 5.5 months of hypocrisy right before I got shot at. I told the guys, I said, man, I said, guess what? They said, what? I said, I found Jesus, man. They said, shut up, man. I said, no, I'm telling you the truth, dude. I found Jesus. They're like, no. Come on, man. Stop saying that. They're all hardcore atheists. I said, no, I'm telling you the truth. And there was this guy in my band that's my best friend in the world. Everybody else was like, dude, stop saying that name. I said, why? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because I was just, didn't matter. I was a singer. I was a front guy. And they were like, we're out. They take their stuff and leave, but my best friend stayed there. My best friend, his name is Bobby. He's like my best friend in the whole world. And I'm like, man, dude, for real, you're going to stay? Cool, let's get high. That was the first day that Jesus came in, right after. I'm out. I'm talking, we're partying and all that in that 5.5 month period. This is before I got shot at. The danger of hypocrisy. So I am hurting his view of who God is. I am destroying everyone's view, destroying my girlfriend's view of who God is for sure, destroying my daughter's view of tell your mommy that daddy found God. All that stuff. Everything's destroyed. All her family, now he's going to be a hypocrite. Now he's going to be one of them holy rolling hypocrites. And to tell you the truth, I was. And it was horrible. But Bobby is my best friend. He's sticking by me. He's like the best guy ever. He's like a father. He's got two kids, but he doesn't have to work because they own their house. It's like an inheritance thing. His wife works just to pay a couple utilities, but he's a stay-at-home dad. That's how they have it worked out, and he's a good dad. 3.5-year-old kid, 7.5-year-old kid. Great dad. Same age as my daughter, 7.5, same age. So in those 5.5 months of that time period before I got shot at, I'm telling him how amazing Jesus is. Getting high with him and drinking and partying. I didn't show up at band practice, and it was in my basement, band practice was. So he'd come to my house and be there for hours when I wasn't there. So, man, I'm telling him, Jesus, man, he loves you so much, bro. And I'm getting high and partying and doing all the stuff that I did before, except I have this confession. See, I'm not talking to you about something that I haven't walked out and haven't been through. Hypocrisy is the most dangerous thing ever. Jesus says, hot or cold, but because you're warm, I'll spit you out. What does that mean? Hot means you're burning on fire. Cold means you don't know him. Warm means you claim to know him, but in actions deny him. I'm not being mean. This is real. This is true. Jesus says it'd be better that you're cold. I said, God, that's crazy. Cold, that was me. He said, Todd, I switched you like a light switch. Hot, boom, burn, fire, wow. Warm. People are damaged to the world around them. They claim to know me, but in works deny me. In actions deny me. They know me on Sunday, but Monday through Sunday afternoon, they deny me. They don't talk about me because they're afraid to, because they don't know me. But if they would dare to ask to know me, I would reveal myself to them and manifest myself through them. So the 5.5 months, I'm living horribly. And man, this one guy, Bobby, I'm the only one that he talks to. I'm his best friend ever. And man, I'm like, man, I'm telling you, he's real, dude. I know this guy that he has it, man. I'm telling you. And I have no idea. So the 5.5 months, man, he's like, dude, chill. You keep talking about Jesus, but there's no difference between your life and my life. All you have is that name, but that name hasn't done anything for you, just like every other Christian that I've ever seen. I'm like, I'm telling you the truth. You got to come meet my friend, man. He's for real. The night I got shot at, I went home, decided I was going to Teen Challenge, but in the midst of it, I called my friend Bobby. I said, dude, I said, listen, man, I got to go. I'm going to rehab. He goes, good for you. You need help, man. I go, yeah, I need help, so much help, bro. And I found out that they told me the Holy Spirit's a helper. He goes, easy, man. Look, there's lots of spirits out there. He believed in ghosts and witches and warlocks and aliens and spaceships and all that paranormal stuff, UFOs, unidentified. He believed in all that stuff, but he didn't believe in the one that was holy. And I said, man, I'm telling you, I got to go away. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go learn about Jesus. He goes, don't you understand that Jesus isn't real? I said, no, I'm telling you, man, look at your life, bro. You need help, and I'm glad you're going to get help. He said, I'll see you in a month. I said, man, it's not a month, it's a year. I got to go away for a year. He goes, what? Why would you go away for a year to learn about something that's not real? Man, you can do this. It's about the power from inside. It's the strength from within. And I'm thinking, dude, I have no strength, man. I messed everything up. Look, I'm not even a dad. I'm the poorest example of a boyfriend ever. Poorest. No, man, it's just because you need to reach down and you need to fix yourself, man. That's it. And this guy was good by the world standard of good. Not the holy standard, but the good, but the world standard. So I told him, I'm going away for a year. He goes, what? He goes, bro, you can't go away for a year. I said, I'm going away for a year, man. I said, I'm not allowed to call you. I'm not allowed to talk to you. I'm not allowed to write letters to you. I got to be done with all that stuff for a year. He goes, why? Why would you do this to yourself? Why would you do this to your family? Why would you do, listen, man, you're making a big mistake. Jesus isn't real. Man, I believe in you, but I don't believe in him. Come on, man. I said, I got to go, bro. I said, I leave in 3 days. Can we get together? He's no. No way we can get together because work schedule for her, his wife, none of that stuff. And I had some things I needed to take care of. So I said, all right, man. I said, well, I'll call you before I go and just say goodbye one more time before I go. He's all right, man. He goes, listen, we'll jam when you get out, man. All right? I'm like, all right, dude. Really? I said, man, it's going to be totally different, man. I'm gonna know Jesus. I just knew that I would know. I said, nah, man. We'll talk about it then. So I left 3 days later. I left a message on his thing because he didn't answer. And I went up to this place, Teen Challenge, and girlfriend's glad that I'm gone. Daughter's sad that I'm gone. I'm her only dad, and I can't get a hold of my best friend ever, man. I leave this message, and I say, man, I love you. I'll see you when I get back, man. I'm going to learn who Jesus is, man. Doesn't answer. I go up to Teen Challenge. I'm up there 3 days, man. Gave up everything. Submitted myself to God. Surrendered. And I'm up there for 3 days, and I get a phone call from the pastor, and the pastor calls there, that smiley guy. His name's Dan Moeller. He's amazing. He calls me, and he says, Todd, he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, what? He said, man, he said, you got to promise me that you're not going to leave. And I said, why are you talking like this? What's going on? I said, what happened to Jackie? What happened to Destiny, my girlfriend, or my daughter? Even though she hated me, I didn't want anything bad to happen to her. And man, I owed a lot of drug debt. And there were people after me. And the first thought is, man, someone came over to my house and finished my family. I didn't want that to happen. I'm like, God, help. They said, it's not your family, it's Bobby. I said, what do you mean? He said, Bobby had a brain aneurysm. I said, what's that? He said, Bobby's in a coma. I said, no. No, not my friend. I said, what? I threw the phone down. I ran upstairs. I said, no! The only person that cared about me in the world was this guy. He didn't believe in Jesus, but man, he was this good guy. I went upstairs in the prayer room, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, no! God said, you're not going anywhere. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, peace filled the room. I mean, the presence of peace hit me, and I'm on the floor. God, no, not Bobby. Not my best friend. And I stayed there. I couldn't do anything about it anyway. And I stayed in this program, and I'm there. A week went by, and another week went by, another week went by, and all of a sudden the Bible started to open up to me. The reality of what God says started to open up. It started with a scripture in James. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give to all generously. And I said, oh my God, that's it. I don't have a clue. I'm wisdomless. I don't have a clue. Help me. And it was like, God's like, okay, we can work with that. And I'm like, God. And he spoke to me, told me, you're not going anywhere. And I stayed there. And a little bit later, I had this encounter with a homeless guy one day. I just told him about Jesus, and he told me, I know how much he loves me, but do you know how much he loves you? And I went, what? And he tells me, I was just overwhelmed. I had nightmares every night when I was in there because at night I was attacked, night terror, all night long. But these nights I had these dreams where I was in a valley. And I heard a voice say, do not fear, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm like, what was that? I wake up in the morning, I go down to the prayer room an hour early, I open the Bible, and it flips open to Psalms 23. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I said, oh my God, is that you, Jesus? This is not just like a coincidence. This is ridiculous. And my day was different, just different. And I'm going through my day, and then that night, same dream. Again, boom, I wake up an hour early, open my prayer. What? Psalm 23. I'm like, God, are you telling me something? What are you saying? The third night, I have the same dream, and he tells me to go home. Now, I'm 10 months early. I've ruined everything, and I've quit everything, and I've never followed through with anything in my life. And I woke up that morning, man. I went down to the prayer room, Psalm 23. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I go down to my room. I pack everything in my trash bag. I'm like, I'm out. Everybody's like, what are you doing, man? I said, I got to go, man. For the first time in my life, freedom had hit my soul. Freedom, the freedom of being free. Like being free here, like this thing. It was free. I went downstairs and they're like, you can't go, man. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. I said, I know, but this is for real. This is Jesus. I go downstairs, man, and they're, rah, rah. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't offended. I wasn't hurt. Like that hurt thing, that offense thing just left. I wasn't condemned anymore. I was free. It was ridiculous. The Bible was opening up and I was reading and devouring it and just, rah. Oh my gosh. I tell people, guess what it says? And they'd be like, yeah. Like, no, look at this. They'd be like, easy, man. No, it's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, tell us about it. I can't, but look at this. And I called Dan and I asked him to come get me. He said, Todd, is this God? I said, I met Jesus last night, man. He said, I'm on my way. He comes up and picks me up and I go home and he tells me all the reasons why I'm going to make it on the way home. And I know that I can't go live at home, but I know that I've got to go out there to tell my daughter, because for the first time in my life, I'm a father. Oh, I never knew that I was a dad. Yet I was a dad, but I never knew I was a dad. It's just different knowing that you're a dad. And I said, hey, you. She goes running across the porch. I said, hey. I said, I just want to tell you how much I love you, and I'm going to be your dad. I'm going to be a dad, not just call myself a father, but be a father. I'm going to get a job. That's part of being a dad. I'm going to supply your needs. I'm going to come here and I'm going to help pay for you and I'm going to be there for you. Daddy, I'm so glad you're home. And I said, that's just it. I said, I'm out, but I'm not home. I can't live here. I ruined everything with mom. She goes, no, Daddy, this is your home. I said, no, I can't live here. My heart was so convicted because I knew that that wasn't a place I could live. I ruined everything. Now I got to reconcile. I'm like, hey, my girlfriend comes out. I said, I'm so sorry. I ruined your life. She said, I know you are. I said, what do you mean? You know, she said, when you went away, I gave my life to Jesus. I said, oh my gosh. I said, I cannot live here. She goes, no, you can't. She said, we need to be married. I thought, well, oh my God. My daughter's sitting there going, because she knows more. And I looked at Dan and I said, what's going on? He goes, I've been talking to them when you've been gone. I'm like, oh God. I said, we need to plan this. And Dan looks at me, he goes, you're not planning anything. He said, I know that you love her and I know that she loves you. It's time you become a family. We'll do it in between first and second service on Sunday. So on Sunday, in between first and second service, I mean, right in that little gap, yeah, 20 minutes, that's when we got married. The day after we got married, I heard in my heart to go and visit Bobby. So I went up to the brethren home where he was. It was like a convalescent home. He's on life support. His skull is cut away. His brain's all swollen. Had a brain aneurysm. And I went there, and my best friend is laying on the bed. And he's not home. And I said to him, I'm sorry, man, because I realize who Jesus is. I'd love to tell you that he winked at me or something, but he didn't. And I said, I'm sorry. And his wife is there. She's crying. She's just messed up. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, for what? I said, because I didn't represent Jesus. She goes, Jesus, look at my husband. Now you're going to tell me about a Jesus? I said, he's real. She goes, shut up. Don't talk about this. Why would you say this? She goes in the corner and she crawls. And I'm sitting there going, God. And I'm holding Bobby's hands and I wish. And I saw my hypocrisy. 5.5 months. Hey, man, Jesus loves you. Hey, dude, he loves you so much. Hey, man, God loves you, bro. I saw it all. It's not funny. What it was hypocrisy in its finest. It was a great confession without a life to live. And I walked in the midst of this thing, and I didn't shine in the midst of a perverse and corrupt generation. What I did was I lived as a hypocrite. And Bobby, the last words he said to me was, dude, I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe in you. I said, I'm sorry. I started singing, I'm sorry. He's real, he's real, he's real, he's real. He didn't wake up. He didn't blink at me. His eyes are dilated, fixed, done. My daughter, I brought her with me so she could see her daddy apologize. So she could say goodbye. Next morning, he died. Man, for 30 seconds, I lived with condemnation, guilt, and shame because I realized the 5.5 months of hypocrisy and the danger of it. And it just flashed right through. And I lived sin conscious for those 30 seconds, and it was horrible. And I've lived son conscious ever since. The next day, he died, and his wife said, hey, you know that Bobby died, and man, we just... She said, you were his best friend. He would have wanted you to speak at his funeral. I thought, oh my God, what do you do? I don't know what to do. So I was up all night long, the night before the funeral, and I get there, and Bobby's shell is in this casket, but he's not home. And I'm the only one that could have bore witness in his life. The only one he really talked to. The only one he reached out. Who's kind of like a stay-at-home dad. Real quiet guy. Closet guitarist. Amazing. But didn't talk to many people. And I'm up there. And I look at his two kids in the front row. I watch them come up there. Daddy, wake up. Oh, man. Gee. Guys. You get one shot at this thing. I'm passionate about what I believe because all of y'all have a Bobby in your life. All of you have somebody that looks at you and wonders if you're real. My question is, do you know that you're real? Because I promise you, you don't have to have somebody that dies and you know that you didn't represent Jesus. All you have to do is repent and say, that's it. I'm done. I'm going after this thing. I promise. There is no plan B. It's only plan A. And I had to tell his kids, and I'm really sorry that I didn't represent Jesus to your father. And your daddy told me before he died. Because see, that day when I called and left a message on his answering machine, they found him brain aneurysm on the floor that morning. Same morning. I didn't kill him. But I sure didn't live Jesus in front of him. Now, I've been married for 11 years. We have 3 girls, 18, 9, and 4. I travel and I preach the gospel. But I had to tell those kids that day that there's only one name under heaven that men could be saved. And your daddy told me he didn't believe in Jesus, but he believed in me. Now, you might think that's mean, but that's truth. Someone believing in you, but you not representing Jesus doesn't help. I love you, but I won't compromise the truth. That's why I preach what I preach, because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to put a defibrillator on our heart. Boom! And thump our heart. Where we actually wake up and realize what we're really in. I'm not mean and I'm not mad, and I love you with all my heart. I travel the world and I preach the gospel. It's what we do. I didn't say any of this thing to condemn anybody. Conviction is normal. Conviction. You obey your convictions and God will change your life. Condemnation is from hell and it's not him. Put your hands on your heart. I'm just going to pray for you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Change our heart for you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us to know the truth. Help us to live for you, Jesus. Help us to co-labor with you, Lord God. We surrender, we surrender, we surrender to you, Jesus. We say yes to you with our lives, with every part of us. We surrender all. We surrender all. If you've lived in a place of hypocrisy and you're done, stand to your feet. We surrender all. We say yes to you, Jesus. We surrender all. We say yes, Jesus, yes. We say yes to you. We say yes, Jesus, yes. We say yes to you. We say yes, Jesus, yes. We say yes to you. We say yes, Jesus, yes. We say yes to you. Create in us a clean heart, Lord God. Create in us a clean heart, Lord God. Create in us a clean heart, Lord God. We say yes, Jesus, yes. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Father, I thank you that you'd mark your people. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for grace. I thank you for truth. I thank you for the power of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, for Christ in us, the hope of glory. I thank you that we'd be ever aware of your presence, God, of the relationship that you gave us, that we wouldn't just worship you in a building, but our life would worship you in spirit and truth. God, we say yes to you. Sing with me, just real quick. We have a couple minutes. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. That's it. Just right there. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Just for 30 seconds. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you, oh yeah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We say yes to you.
As you speak to our spirit today, God, may we be quick to obey that. We believe this is a great ministry to sow seed into, and we want to
bless him, the man of God you sent here to our region this weekend. God, we want to bless Todd and his family. Our ushers are going to begin to pass out our tithe and offering. I mean, our baskets here. 100% of everything you've given us offerings is going to go directly to his ministry. They're going to pass that. I know some people maybe came in this house today. You need a prayer. Anybody here sick? You say, I came, I need a prayer today. Anybody, raise your hand about you. You say, I need a prayer. Yeah, see. Sometimes we gear up and think, I need somebody to pray for me. I want Todd to pray for me. Let me tell you, the same prayer that Todd prays, the same prayer that we pray here. And we believe very much. I mean, it's Jesus that heals. Amen. And so if you need prayer for healing your body, I want you just to raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray over you as well. And we're going to join our faith today as they're passing these offering baskets. I want to pray over you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person who raised their hand who was sick. Father, in the body right now. In Jesus' name, I release healing in their body. Sickness must die. I speak health return in the name of Jesus. Strength return in the name of Jesus. God, right now, I pray for all sickness and disease, tumors shrinking, disappearing, cancer dying in Jesus' name, bones mending in Jesus' name. Father, right now, livers healing in Jesus' name. Father, right now, migraines are leaving in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are releasing a healing spirit in this house today. And we release that now in the name of Jesus. Healing, God, in Jesus' name. Through the power of your stripes, we claim and speak healing in Jesus' name. This is what's going to happen, okay? They're going to pass this around. They're passing this around. How many have enjoyed? Are you glad Thomas here? I want you to just give a hand for him being here. Jeff and Missy, thank you guys so much for getting Todd here this weekend and bringing him here to our region. We appreciate a lot of things going on. Go to their website. They're at Victory Ministries. And check out. They have stuff going on from praise and worship to they got special speakers coming in, seminars all the time. Check out what's happening there. Be a part of that as they offer that to the body of Christ. Now, listen, when you leave today, I need you to leave in a timely manner because I need your parking places and your seats, okay? We're expecting another capacity crowd here in about 15 minutes. So when you leave, exit out the right side of the hallway that you're leaving in, and the other people who are coming in, they're going to come in their right side. So it's important that we get traffic going one way, okay? Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. You guys have a great day.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come from this place and fill me.